traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
You know, I got to a point where, you know, I share about this sometimes. It's like I was too afraid to kill myself, but I didn't want to go on living either. Right? And I was 21 years old. Oof.
Thought she watches every episode.
We got to get Mike an M cup. I can't be the only one with a cup with my initial on it. Are we rolling? That's great. Hey, welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Thank you guys for listening. If you're watching, subscribing. If you're not subscribed, make sure to hit that button. There are some things I need to get out of the way, like just some custody stuff. Pay attention. This is important. It might be some of the most important words that have ever exited my mouth. Episode 100 is coming up.
Whoa.
I'm not exactly sure which one this is because I'm going to Sweden and we're banking a lot, but episode 100 is coming up. 100 motherfucking episodes of Impulsive.
That's crazy.
Let's not celebrate too much because we're not there yet.
We're not there yet.
We're pretty fucking close.
Sorry. And we have something big planned. We are going to do the 100th episode live. It's going to be live. This could be the birth of a new Logan Paul or the death of the current Logan Paul again. Hopefully it's not and we don't say anything too controversial, but I feel good about it. I feel good about it, boys.
Some risky business.
It's going to be 3 hours. So make sure you tune in for that. We're going to have, I think, 2 guests on, a lot of activities. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Yeah. Number 2.
Magic tricks and shit.
Yeah. We could do magic tricks.
Can we auction something off?
We could auction Mike off.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I feel like right now, based on my current levels, that would probably raise a few fucking bucks.
Yeah, for sure. Your numbers are up, man. You're popping. Number 2, Challenger Games. I announced this last week. This is a big fucking deal. We are doing an event called the Challenger Games at the Long Beach Memorial Stadium. It is the biggest entertainers in the world getting together for a track and field meet. We're going to race. We're going to see who's the fastest. The winners get to donate money to a charity of their choice. It's going to be sick. It's going to be live streamed with a donation link. So make sure you tune in for that. Be ready. Keep an eye out for who's participating. You're going to love it. What are you doing?
Just motioning towards the fucking climate control unit in here.
Oh, you hot, Mike?
No, I'm not fucking hot. But at some point, I may get hot because someone always turns it off and it gets fucking hot.
It is hot. Yeah. And also, I noticed this. I just took a shower.
Stop turning it off.
Yeah, stop, David.
God dang
it. You can give your spot in the house, you turn off everything?
Literally,
you
look like a fucking pilgrim as it is. What's wrong with you? You're still stuck on Plymouth Rock over there? That was your problem. Yeah. By the way, quick question.
Well, hey.
We just shot a podcast not more than 45 minutes ago. What did you guys do in the break in between the podcast? I'll tell you what I did quickly. Okay. I'll answer my own question, then you guys
great.
Go.
That's great order. I love that order.
It's the reason why I bring this up is because I took a nap and I also masturbated. And so that's why I had to go pee just now because I had to get the rest of the nut out of my penis, bro. What did you guys do?
Yo, Mike.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
That's not normal, bro.
Which part of it? The nap?
No.
Is it the nap?
It's not that it's not normal. It's just like, I think saying it so expressively, that's where it gets tricky for me.
Yeah.
I want to support my friend, but also what the fuck are you doing?
I have been very open about the fact that I nap for a long time now. It's a quick way for me to recharge.
I'm not talking about the nap, man.
What's going on?
It's the masturbation part.
Oh.
Have you tried masturbating upside down like our sexpert said, our first guest?
No,
something to consider.
I've still been working on the balloons.
She wants you to levitate and jerk off.
What'd you guys do?
I read a book.
A whole book in 45 minutes?
Two chapters.
All right. Well, you lied. Good for you. I didn't take a break. I took a shower and then took a shower again.
Two showers.
No, listen. Hey,
with the current water crisis, you're yelling at me about nothing.
I want to say something. I have a message from my mom. When you guys were growing up, did you ever have that struggle and that back and forth with your parents where it's like, I want to get a dog, and then they say, no, you can't get a dog. And you beg them and beg them and beg them and they never let you get a dog because that was the case in my mom's house. And it was so difficult to get her to get a dog. She just got a brand new dog. Pam just got a brand new dog. And
what'd she get?
I have a video here, but also like, what the fuck, Ma? Because all of a sudden your kids aren't home and now you're all into dogs. You ain't into dogs. And look at this. Isn't a dog? This is a little
What is that
this
thing?
This is a little rag and bone scrub toy.
Oh my God, it's like a mini little demon child.
Wait.
Oh, okay.
Brad, wow, Brad, Brad, where's the audio? Brad, where's the audio? We're good on my end.
Are you plugged in? Brad, help. Are you muted?
I don't think so.
Did you get a little mute situation?
I don't think so.
Nobody likes it.
Wait, oh, mute. Shit.
I saw her story. This was a pretty pretty impulsive buy.
Nice, nice. Hey, nice. That book was...
Nice plug there, Spencer. Yeah, I'm getting a little audio feedback. It's no problem. Hopefully it works now.
Look at him. Isn't he cute? Yay, puppy!
I didn't hear that once when I was growing up. And look at this little shit.
Okay, he's pretty cute.
No, I hate him. I hate him.
Is it a Pomeranian?
I think it's a Pom Ski. I don't know what it is. But like, well, like, what's good, Ma?
Pam, why'd you do that?
It was so hard for me to get a dog growing up. And like I said, like, I kind of feel like I got stabbed in the back, if I'm being honest. Kind of makes me feel disgusting.
Do you think he's living in your room back home?
At this point, probably. He's using my toothbrush.
Just taking dumps on your pillow.
Yeah.
What's the dog's name?
Probably Mike.
Really? They gave it a human name, huh? I see a lot of that these days. I knew a couple dogs back in Connecticut. Bob and Henry.
Is there a dog named Mike? New. I've never heard of a dog named
that's
Mike.
That's why it's funny.
What do you think my dog is going to be named?
Mark?
Nope, it's going to be named Mike.
Jimmy?
It was really easy. You had already pitched the answer up to yourselves.
Guys, this is a boring. This is a pretty boring conversation.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised.
Wait, no, but I'm going to spin it.
I'm going to spin it.
I was bored on a date this last week. I went on a date. Don't say the girl's name. You know her. And I knew I was bored because she was, this is so bad. She was talking. We were outside on a patio and I looked up at like the numbers of the address of the restaurant across the way. And, I started adding the numbers.
What'd you get?
It was 14.
Wow.
And once I got
go the next step of adding the 1 + 4?
No, I should have, right?
To get five,
back to five. But once I got 14, I was like, this is bad. I got abort.
Yeah.
And bro, like, fuck, she's going to know who she is. We were playing games. We were playing a Connect Four. And
that's
like
exhilarating game.
But I realized I am fucking ruthless. When it comes to playing games with girls, I will not let them win. You know how you're supposed to let girls win? Not me. The moment a game's whipped out, nah, man, so is my dick. And oh. I must win the game.
I love a good dick joke.
There's no handouts for me. Only no handouts, just hand jobs.
Nice. Keep them going, man. I'm loving this episode as far as just dicks on dicks. Dude.
Which is ironic because this is actually a really extremely great value-based podcast for any entrepreneurs out there. So if any of you are left...
Yeah, we've already hit our dick quota, so we should probably just move on to the guests.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Dick quota.
Both of them who have dicks as well, which is a strange coincidence.
Yeah. Well, only one of them's coming on, but there are two of them. Guys, I want to bring them on. Today's episode is a treat for any of the young entrepreneurs out there. We like to have fun here, but it's more fun to have fun when you have some money in your pocket. I'm just being honest with you.
It's true.
At one point, our guest was bouncing checks at the supermarket, dead broke and almost dead from drug addiction. Today, he's built multiple businesses, become a marketing and advertising expert, and he's now worth millions. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Adam Hyman. That's a long clap.
That was the best clap
we're really going for it
so far. We've had.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, man. That was a long clap.
That was amazing.
I don't know.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I well deserved that one.
Nah, I feel like you deserve it.
All right, man. Thanks.
And the last name, I said it right?
You did.
Hyman?
You did.
Intact Hyman? Isn't that a thing? I heard about this.
No, it is a thing. It is a thing.
What is that?
It is it's what a woman loses during the first time she has sex.
Oh yes.
No. Like Papa Cherry. Papa Hyman. Yeah.
How do we always just devolve back to genitalia?
Why? Because everything's really close to it if you think about it at the end of the day.
It's where we come from, pun intended.
Yeah.
Truth. Hey, very true.
Nice. Spencer.
Hey, welcome.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Of course, man. So sorry we had to open the episode with such a degenerate type conversation.
No, I think it's fantastic.
You ever been bored on a date? Start counting numbers on an address?
There was only my wife.
Oh, no.
You can't say that. You can't say that.
So you married her.
Hey, he doesn't mean it.
No, no. Yeah, no, of course. I mean, who hasn't, right?
So you are married now.
I am.
You got two kids.
I do.
And you make and you have earned a lot of fucking money.
This is true.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
But it wasn't always this way. Just a little soundboard.
No, it was definitely not.
So you iterated to me outside, just outside there. Mm-hmm. You had a severe drug addiction.
I did.
And so did Mike. So maybe there's some synergy or something.
We should try to connect on a level.
I feel like we could do that. That's what podcasts are for.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You started at the age of, what did you say, 12?
12, yeah.
Bro. What were you doing at the age of 12?
What were you addicted to? Blocks?
I was actually. I would grind them up, snort them.
Candyland or some shit?
Yeah, of course, bro. You what put in your colon. 12 is
early, dude.
What is a seventh grader?
No, so, you know, look, you. I started, you know, I would like skip school and smoke weed or, you know, you know, I'm Jewish, so like I had a bar mitzvah like every other weekend that year.
Okay.
So you just like hit up the open bar all the time. So
you know, drinking at 12.
I don't know. Nobody really gave a shit.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
So it started off like that, man. Like skip school, smoke weed, drink when you can. And like, you know, I always felt like really uncomfortable in my own skin, man, like my whole life, right? So like any time that I was able to use or do anything like that, like, you know, I felt okay, you know, and that's really all I ever wanted out of life was just to kind of like feel okay, man, you know?
Yep.
And like that did it for a while. Mm. Right. But I mean, like that's extremely fleeting.
And,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Dangerous and
yeah.
And
yeah.
Tons
absolutely.
Of adjectives to describe how not healthy that is.
No, absolutely. So I ran with that. And then it's the same that you hear from any other story like this one, right. With where there's drugs and addiction and things that, you know, things involved like that, you know, you lose jobs, you lose family, you lose friends, you alienate yourself. And it got to a point where, you know, I was telling you about this outside. It was like, you get to a point where you see everyone around you in your life kind of move on. You know, eventually people stop giving a shit, mm-hmm. you know, people stop caring at a certain point and everyone just kind of like moves on with their life. Mm. And then when you're still there where they leave like that, pretty lonely place to be, man, especially when you don't know how to get yourself out of it, right? So, you know, I got to a point where, you know, I share about this sometimes. It's like I was too afraid to kill myself, but I didn't want to go on living either, right? And I was 21 years old.
Oof.
And I remember, you know, it's so funny, right? Because I remember, you know, and I had tried to stop 100 times, man, for like, you know, for a job, for a girl, for a friend, yeah. for anything, right? You always try and do it for something that isn't, you know, for yourself. Mm-hmm. And every single time I failed, every single time. And I remember just getting to this point where I honestly, I don't even know why that time was different. I can't like, I mean, I wish there was like some profound thing that happened or something, but it was just kind of like, it was just kind of like, I knew that I couldn't keep going that way. And I knew like I had made my mind up that like there had to be something more and I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to die.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I'm always so fascinated when that put my foot down stopping moment is. And he described his a couple of times. I found his really interesting because it sounds a little bit like yours in a way that you're not really sure why that time worked. I mean, yours was a little more.
Yeah, I mean, I was on death's door. You know what I'm saying? So my addiction was to the worst evils and heroin and crack cocaine and shit. That was just, you know, basically had my foot in the grave. And so I was in a really bad place. And I felt like I was going to die any day. Like I had not slept in almost 3 weeks. My blood was just crawling. Like I was having just manic nightmares. It was just night tremors. It was terrible. And I got court ordered into rehab. So it made my life a lot easier. They said, you're going to go to rehab or you're going to go to jail, one or the other. And so that was great. I still had to make the decision afterwards to stay clean. And a lot of that had to do with my support system and not wanting to hurt people in my life anymore. And wanting to make, and to your point, wanting to make my life a better place. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wanted to do better. I didn't want to die with the last thought people had of me as Mike, the kid that OD'd and died.
Yeah.
I'd never wanted that. You know what I'm saying?
His road was extremely visceral and violent and just unhealthy. Every like negative, like scary adjective I can use to describe his road. He's making a book about it. Was yours like that in any way?
I mean, look, I don't know about you, but I have a couple not yet. Right. So like I was never homeless. Right. Mm-hmm. I always had some semblance of a roof over my head, even if it wasn't the nicest of places. Right. I still had a roof. There was still food in the fridge. Right. But like, you know, I had OD'd several times. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd been in terrible car accidents, multiple, you know, ones. You know, if like, you know, it's like kind of a cliche thing to say, but it's true, man. Like if life was fair, I wouldn't be here, you know? Mm. And that's the fucking truth.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, I mean, I think, and look, there's a story, right? Where they say, you know, because look, when I first, you know, and for me, you know, I'm not endorsing any fellowship or anything like that, but for me, I got clean in Narcotics Anonymous, and in August I'll have 14 years clean, right?
Congrats.
So, that's awesome. Thanks, man. So
I got 10 years in coming up in June. Actually, June 23rd was my clean day.
Oh, nice.
Dude,
man.
We just passed it. Sorry, 9 years. 9 years.
Nice. Well, I hope you never beat me. So
Yeah, exactly. But I did 90-90 in NA as well, so straight out of rehab. And then I didn't stay in it. And I somewhat regret that because it is a great program. And once again, I'm not promoting, just like you're not. It's a great program for sure.
No. So what they say is like, you know, as far as, you know, who had it worse or who whatever, right? That there's a saying that goes, you know, if a 3-year-old girl has like a stuffed animal, right? And that's her thing, her everything, right? That's all she has. And then a year later, she loses it, right? The loss of having that is traumatic for that 3-year-old, right?
Pain is pain.
Right, exactly.
It's all relative.
You have an 80-year-old, you know, an 80-year-old man that loses his wife, right? That pain is still, you know, pretty intense, right? But the pain is relative. Like, whose pain is more? Now, as people, we rationally know that, like, it's, you know, worse to lose a human being, right? But in that moment, just the feeling of that pain is the same.
Mm.
We talked about this multiple times in the past few episodes. I can't remember what the last one was, but it was basically about whenever this conversation comes up first, you know, people who are watching this that are going through things or guests that we have on the show, that your pain is always warranted. Like don't ever try to hide your pain and use perspective and understand that you do have things very good. And if you're watching this show, you have things better than people that can't watch this show because they're blind or they can't afford internet or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like understand your pain is warranted. Like we understand it and you should be aligned with it and it's acceptable.
Yeah, man.
You
know? Everyone's stuff is valid, dude.
Yeah. You know,
and that's important.
Yep. And so here's why your story is so interesting is because you pulled quite the 180, Adam. When you got off drugs at 21.
Yep.
And then when you were 23, what did you do that made you a multi-millionaire or would become a huge, massive business or multiple?
Yeah. So actually, I mean, look, so, you know, in Narcotics Anonymous, they have this thing called HNI, right? And at the time, which stands for hospitals and institutions, which you go into like either a jail or a detox and you bring a meeting into, you know, either adults or kids or whatever. So for a little while, I was going to community college because like that's what you're supposed to do, right? I'm also Jewish. So like I had to go back to school at some point to be a doctor or a lawyer because that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. But you had dropped out originally.
I did.
How long did you make it?
Before I went back or after?
Before you dropped out the first time.
Oh man, not long.
Really?
Yeah.
Like a semester, not even?
Maybe like 2-3 semesters.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah. And then I went back and I was doing HNI at the same time. And then I was trying to, you know, I was thinking about becoming like a clinical psychologist because that's what you do. You get clean. You want to like help. You want to fucking help everybody, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I was bringing this meeting into a group of kids, man, in a detox. And you're supposed to be able to like leave there and take it home with you and not take it home with you. And man, I just fucking sucked at that. You know, every time I came home, like I couldn't sleep that night. Like it was, I mean, you hear just the worst things imaginable.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought to myself, like, this isn't what I want to do for the rest of my life. You know, like I thought that I had to go this route of like going to college and getting a degree in something professional. And that had to be it. right? Because like, what else do you do? And so I went ahead and I decided that it was, you know, it wasn't for me. And, you know, I kind of left. Well, I didn't leave school just yet, right? So what I did was like, but I wasn't really going either.
Yeah.
I figured if I stayed enrolled, then maybe like I had still had the option or something.
Did you feel like, so sorry for drawing or attempting maybe to draw like parallels between your journey. But Mike's iterated to me that like he sort of had felt like maybe a part of his life was taken or however you want it, was lost to drugs and drug addiction, drugs, alcohol, whatever you want to call it. And so maybe now, I mean, maybe it's who you were. I mean, your whole family's like bubbly and like young and spry, but maybe the reason we get along so well is because he has the life experience of a 34-year-old, but in a way he's still living the life of a 24-year-old.
Oh, I know what you're trying to explain.
I actually relate to that because I'm 35 and I feel the same fucking way.
So I was going to say, do you feel like a 25-year-old?
I mean, look, I got two kids, man. I got a wife. So like, but yeah, I still can't believe they let me leave the hospital with those fucking kids. You know what I mean? I'm joking.
No, that's how I feel.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
The point that he's referring to is science has started to prove that those who suffer through a long bout of addiction stop developing at the age that they become addicted to drugs because it takes over their entire life. They don't develop mentally, emotional, or in any kind of intelligent manner, right? And so I was addicted from the age of 18 to 26, daily addiction to opiates. It was the only thing in my life. I didn't do school. I didn't do family. I didn't do anything else besides use drugs. Use and sell drugs. It was the only thing I cared about.
Yep.
When I turned 26, it was almost like I just turned 18 when I got clean. You know what I'm saying? And so now I'm 34, but a lot of times I feel like I'm 25, 26.
Yeah.
And so that said, the one note I'll say on it, and I'm sure you'll say the same thing, is everything I got out of that time, I wouldn't trade it for shit. No. I wouldn't trade that life experience, that wisdom that I got from all those mistakes I made, the street smarts I took from that life. I don't want anyone to go through it, but damn, it gives it. It's my basis for everything.
Absolutely.
I do now.
100%, man.
Everything.
Don't do drugs.
Don't ever fucking do drugs.
No, it's not worth it. Really is. So no.
Y'all got lucky, by the way. Like y'all. So lucky. I really want to make that very clear. Y'all, there are 99.999% of people who 100%. Are either not here anymore or are the exact opposite position of you. You're still obviously working and growing, and soon you'll be a macro influencer.
No, but I'm sure you too, man. Like, I mean, you know, how many people I'm sure you've been to funerals of people that
they don't stop.
Yeah.
They don't stop. I get 100%. Calls every week about another OD, especially depending. Where are you from?
Miami.
Originally? Okay. We have a similar, I think we're probably about in the same way. Florida's obviously got one of the worst pill problems ever.
Opiates was my drug of choice for a long time. Yep.
Oxycontin.
Yeah.
Why do you still live in Miami? Because we were just talking like every time we go, it takes years off our life.
You know, my father's still down there. My wife's parents are down there. Mm. It makes it easier when you have kids.
Yeah.
Are you able to have a cocktail?
No, I don't.
So you're completely sober, right?
Yeah.
Is there any way you can transfer that knowledge to my friend, Mike?
Well, here's the thing, right? So like, I think about it sometimes, right? So like, I just, like, give you an example. You know, I've been, you know, in my clean time, I've been to Amsterdam for business. I just got back from a vacation to Italy with my wife.
Where'd you go?
In Italy?
Yeah.
Amalfi Coast, Greece.
Nice, man. Must be nice.
What else? We went to, I'm going to butcher the name, but like Bologna or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You didn't go to Florence?
No.
Florence is the best city on the planet.
But yeah, what's the...
So I was there and like you see everyone having like a glass of wine, right? Because like that's what you're supposed to do out there. And I thought to myself, and I was sharing this with a buddy of mine. I was thinking to myself, you know, man, I got like 14 years clean. I have all these things that are going for me and everything else. And I remember like thinking about, you know, seeing someone having like a glass of wine and they didn't finish it.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's still after all this time, dude, with everything to lose. I'm like, why didn't they finish it? You know, like, like we got a crazy, like
we got a soldier down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Why didn't you finish it?
Yeah.
You know, and then I thought, well, shit, you know, I'll probably have some of that and then have to go rob a CVS.
Wow. But that's, you know? and you say, wow, but that's the path that it goes a lot of times, you know, yeah. Like you start real small. I was very blessed, I guess, to get a couple years clean and now I'm able to socialize and go. I don't promote it. I don't like it for anyone. Sometimes I don't even like it for me, but you know, I'm able to go out and have drinks.
You think that's healthy?
It's not my place.
Yeah. It's not,
you know,
it's a personal journey.
I mean, it's your place to have an opinion.
I know that for me, it's not healthy.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
I'm not him. I don't know. You know,
by the way, I don't know the answer. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, look, I know for me that it's not healthy because for me, when I think about having one, it doesn't stop there in my head.
He's pretty good.
Exactly. Yeah, so, you know, why,
for the most part,
you know, except so it's kind of like, why fuck with it, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So, all right.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Back to 23. When did you get rich?
So what happens is that I ended up trying to figure out other stuff to do, man. Like trying to figure out what I was interested in. Cause like you said, you know, you got to kind of grow up and figure out what it is that you want to do. And, you know, I started, you know, my buddy and I were coming up with these ideas and we were just being funny about it. Right. So we thought, well, it'd be funny to create like this website, you know, and none of us had ever built a website before. And we thought it'd be funny to create this website where it was like, you know, like Pornhub meets like Maxim magazine. And like, we had this section penned out where it was going to be from like Jew to tattoo as far as
all these like different formats.
Right. Yeah. So we thought it'd be funny. So like that night I went home and I had this old fucking compact desktop computer in my room that like I hadn't turned on in forever. And I turned it on and, you know, I knew how to like download, you know, music or whatever. So I went ahead and I downloaded a copy of Photoshop. Nice. And I started messing with that. And just the ability to like be creative, you know, and the ability to, you know, just mess around with like what was going to be this website, even though I had no idea what I was doing, like that process. That night, I kind of fell in love with it. Like, I didn't sleep that night. You know, like I stayed up. I tried to figure out how to, like, make different graphics on there. And, like, that kind of triggered a lot of it.
That's not easy. And I'm surprised. Did you not have a creative outlet before that? Like, you didn't know you liked to paint?
No.
Perhaps? Or
no,
do wheelies on a bike or nothing?
Nothing, really.
Wow. How did that help you in your recovery?
I mean, you know, look, I mean, I don't know how it helped me in my recovery, but it helped me like, you know, look, the recovery is all part of it. Right. But like it helped me feel, you know, like inspired, you know what I mean? Like, I don't, I'm trying to think of the right word, you know, but it helped me feel inspired. And that feeling that night is what I ran with this entire time.
Mm. Was it that you needed to put the same energy you had, in kind of that addictive nature to something productive and creative,
you know,
and tap into, like, you know, I feel like the majority of people I hear that have addictions, just, it's just, you're misguiding that energy.
I mean, that's true too, but
yeah.
And look, I'm sure there's some element of that. I can tell you today, like 100%, I'm addicted to, you know, building the next company or building the next deal or creating the next whatever. Right. For sure today. But then, you know, and even today, but like then really it was, there was no money. There was no success. There wasn't any of that stuff. And none of that was front and center in my head. It wasn't, you know, and then, so what I did was I taught, you know, long story short, over the next year and a half, I basically locked myself in a room and taught myself how to do like web design, web development, Photoshop. And like, I, you know, at that time, like YouTube was just kind of, you know, people were just putting like the tutorial videos on YouTube. So you couldn't just search for that shit.
Expert Village?
I don't think that existed then, dude.
Way back. Early.
Can't imagine.
Early
that.
Days.
Well, I was talking to Evan the other day and we were talking about tutorials and how when we were young, there were some tutorials on how to do some stuff. But now you can find anything on YouTube. Like, I remember what Expert Village was like the thing for how to's, like, you know, how to replace a muffler on a car.
Yeah. Yep.
I remember trying to bounce a video in Premiere for the first time. There was no videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
And like that video was like, it had like a big black box around it. I couldn't figure out how to make a 1080 video. It took me like literally weeks.
Well, because I mean, I know for me, the word export
and the word file, what does that mean?
It makes no sense.
You have to learn the programming of a computer, and I didn't understand any of it. And so, yeah, it's fucking hard, especially, like, I'm really impressed that you were able to not only learn Photoshop, but web design, because I tried to do the same thing, and I gave up. My first website ever was called Evone. It was everyone and everything, Evone, E-E-V-O-N-E. And the first article, like, I was like, pretending to be a journalist, and I wrote about, like, Britney Spears, I think.
Really?
Evone, yeah.
Wait, what? How do I not know this?
Yeah, that's incredible. Information.
I sat in my room for, like, a week, and I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be rich and famous. But it sounds like you actually fucking made it happen. Like, I gave up.
Yeah. No, I mean, I guess I kind of Evoned the situation.
Yeah. Yeah,
must so, be nice.
I probably have some.
No, we have a sound effect.
Anyways, no. So what happened was is that I started like my own little like web design business, and I had no idea what I was doing. Most of the things that I've done that have been successful, I had no fucking clue what I was doing.
You're faking it.
100%.
Were you? Was this
that's
after?
What you do.
Yeah,
that's the best way to do it. I mean, the never mind. We can't talk about the.
I'd like to. Can you give me a hint?
No, I mean it's the. The kid in the house.
Oh yeah, the other one that we can't talk about.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Go ahead. Were you already out of college when this started?
I actually ended up dropping out of college. So a year into this, I'm still going to school, kind of, and then I get into a year of it, and I'm just like, you know what? I love this, you know. And I wasn't making that much money. I had a couple small clients for like $1,000 a month or something. It wasn't a lot, whatever it was. And I remember thinking to myself like, this is it. Like, maybe it's not it as far as like web design or whatever, but like this being creative and building my own stuff, like that is it.
Got it.
Yeah.
You know, and I left school, which was a really unpopular decision in my family.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The reason I asked about school is because you said you went to a community college.
I did.
You were going to a community college. I went to a community college as well. And I found that it offered a robust selection of courses that lent themselves towards things I wanted to do. And if I wanted to take them, I didn't know if I was even going to graduate. And I didn't know if I really cared, because what's a 2-year liberal arts, you know, associate really worth. But while I was there, I took a Photoshop course, and I started to take different courses in different computer programs. And I learned a lot, dude. And so like, if you're at a community school and you have these electives, Take a class
electives
that lends itself to,
awesome.
Yeah, to like YouTube or like production or like video or whatever you actually want to do. Like, use it for, just in case you don't use your degree, learn some stuff that you probably will use if you don't use your degree.
Who doesn't use their degree, man? Doesn't everyone use their degree?
So how old were you when you made your first million?
I was 28.
Okay, so we're fast forwarding a bit here. And then how was that? Like, how'd that happen?
I remember the year before I had made like $962,000, and I was pissed.
Oh, oh hell yeah.
Because it was right there.
You missed it.
Yeah. And I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
And I remember the year that I, the first year that I did it was a year after I got married, and I was like, okay.
Nice.
And since then it's come a lot easier. Right. So like, getting to that first million was tough.
But was that through one of the domains you have? Because you have a lot of domains.
Yeah. So what I do now is I market and advertise and create awareness for a lot of publicly traded companies, especially those in the cannabis and the marijuana space. We own marijuanastocks.com and some other websites. And, you know, the thing is that like that's become like the you know, like all of that business has become like the bread and butter of what has really taken off and allowed me to like kind of live the life that I live today. But from that, we've been able to spawn out a lot of other things that, you know, allow us to continue to build as well.
Yeah. And you're doing one of those currently, right? Or setting up for in the podcast.
Yeah.
Is what
so,
I'm referring to,
so,
because you just started a podcast of your own.
Yep.
So by the way, congrats. I hope you get more sponsors than we do. Actually make money from your
show. I'm sure you guys will do just fine.
What's it called? Entrepreneured?
Yeah, so it's called Entrepreneured. Cool. And the premise of it is that we want to have like in-depth conversation with entrepreneurs and people that are up and coming, influencers, celebrities, and regular people, man. Just people that are, you know, kind of like get the idea of where they're coming from, what struggles they're going through, and where they are in their journey and how they made it to the other side. And, you know, the goal is to do it in a way that people can find humor in and, you know, hopefully be inspired by.
Is that it's guest based?
It will be, yeah.
Are you let me ask you this. Are you sure that you want to come in the podcast space and compete with the number one podcast in the world, that being Impulsive, of course?
No.
I mean, look, I understand.
He had to warn you.
I get it.
But okay, so entrepreneur, so you want, if you listen to your podcast, what is it? You get rich all of a sudden?
No, you know how?
Because my question is, will it get redundant? How many stories are, if you boil it down, essentially the same story about like rags to riches, or is that, can you find those kernels of wisdom in each one that may provide some sort of different value for the listener?
So I think what's important is that it doesn't just become about how to make money, right? Because that wasn't my experience. My experience wasn't, I'm going to wake up one day and just make money, right? My experience is that I found something that I loved and I ran with it and I continue to build it out. Mm. So I think that there, of course, will be episodes where we talk to people that have a lot of money and that are successful. And there will also be people that we talk to and conversations that we have about finding what it is that you love to do, man. What gives your life purpose?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cool. That's awesome. Like I can tell you, for me personally, I haven't felt like I've gone to work in many years.
Yeah.
Same, bro.
Yeah.
You Spencer, what gives your life purpose?
Wow.
Yeah,
that's deep.
That's a deep question. It's a deep question. What gives your life purpose?
I would say just seeing other people find their purpose.
Put them in the game, coach. He's our coach. He's the
like
coach.
When I see someone become passionate about something that they do and I'm able to like help get them to that point, yo, that fuels me more.
Who
than
have you helped
else.
Get to that point thus far? Anyone?
Yeah, I would say quite a few people.
Who?
Like I content I put out, like what I stand for with my brand. Like I get DMs all the time from people that are getting into triathlons, or
that gets you, that gets you going.
Or, yeah.
It keeps you going.
Keeps me going for sure.
What about you, Mike? What's your life purpose?
I like laughter.
That's a good thing.
I like people.
It's great.
People to exhibit laughter as well.
Yeah, man.
And
you're also, so good at that.
And also I like randomness, and I like random things that make people laugh. You wouldn't expect me to talk about chocolate fudge right now, would you? But I bet you like it. Bet you two out of three people on the podcast laugh right now. Fall three.
He was right.
It's just like a gift for people. Bro. Four. There's. I didn't laugh at my own joke.
That's good.
Question for you.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm in this relaxed fudge state. Let's talk more. There is a subset of people that watch this show that are interested in business.
Correct.
So that's my background. Okay. I just happen to be very funny, but I also am a brand and digital media expert at the highest level. Like speak on panels type shit. Do you, let me get what you did straight really quick. You built distribution platforms, you built websites, and now you serve programmatic ads for companies on those sites. Is that what you're doing or?
Yeah. So we serve programmatic ads for companies on those sites. We also, you know, we build up retargeting pools and have different newsletters. We put together complete branded decks and, investor relations kits, everything from A to Z.
And so you do this the majority in the weed industry for marijuana, but also for other brands? Or?
For every single industry. So I've done stuff in precious metals. I've done stuff in tech, cannabis, biotechnology, all of it.
Is there still value in banner ads?
What's a banner ad for those of you who don't know?
If you go on his website, marijuanamarket.com or
marijuanastocks.com.
And marijuanastocks.com, and you see a little banner at the top.
Right.
Do you ever look at the banner, or you just say, oh shit, it's a banner, I'm out of here?
I do. I do.
You look at the banner?
Most people do not.
There's a thing called banner blindness in the digital media space.
Really?
Yeah.
So people
have trained their brains to completely ignore banners.
They become so desensitized.
Wait, but also if you got cookied and it's a brand you like how could you ignore? Like if the Maverick logo pops up and someone from the low gang seat, like they're not, it's going to catch
their
eye.
That's what's called retargeting.
Right.
So that's where
retargeting.
Direct response is called. So that's where his retargeting stuff.
It's a little bit different. There was already an interest.
Okay.
Right. They're just seeing it and it's validating that interest in other places.
Are you able to sell...
We do more native advertising.
Oh, you do a lot of native articles. And
a lot of editorials, different native articles.
Infographics?
Yeah, when the time calls for it.
Mm.
Do you believe in infographics? I'm not asking selfishly because working.
No.
We just paid
$50,000. So I'll tell you what, actually. So we spend almost seven figures a month on marketing, right?
Definitely you.
I gotta apologize for that one, man. Seven figures, you say? Want to reroute any of that over here?
Oh, and I can tell you
of other of brand money.
Yeah, okay, brand money. Yeah. And I can tell you that we've, you know, look. I'm sure you've seen it too, man. You just said it. The market right now for people that are advertising online is extremely saturated, right? So everyone's doing what they, you know, the hot word is like clicks, right? Like everyone's doing clicks, and most people don't know what that means or how to do it properly, and what we're seeing is that we thought, well, the way to maybe stand out would be to make where they're going more interactive or pop out more. Maybe that's the way to do it, because there's only so much you can do, you know, with a banner ad or anything else.
So native. So right. That's where native comes
so
in.
So we thought, so we did a, you know, we did a split test, which means that like you, you know, see A-B what test. One works, right. What one works as opposed to another. Mm-hmm. And I thought for sure that the infographic, when someone hits it, would capture someone's attention. They'd stay longer, right? There'd be less of a bounce rate. Mm-hmm. And I was wrong.
So one last question on this, because I don't want to, I don't know if Logan cares about any of this, but I know there are some business people out there. They're always in the comments like, we love when you talk about business. If you were a small brand, because we do have some small brands that watch the show, like clothing brands that have like, you know, 10K on Instagram or like these new up and comers. What do you think the core metric they should be concerned with when it comes to running digital ads? Is it CTR, click-through rate, CPC, cost per click? Like what is the, or awareness just based on cost per thousand impressions? Like what's a, or does it vary?
Well, I think first and foremost, for any business that's out there and they're spending money on marketing their brand or whatever, before you spend a dollar on what it is that you're doing, because everyone's like, oh, I want to get followers. Well, why? Why do you want to get followers?
You can monetize followers. That should be their answer.
But the
right?
monetization of the follower means that you have some form of a goal. Mm. You have some form of an acquisition in mind for that follower or for that person looking at your thing or whatever it is, your widget, your podcast, whatever. You want them to take some sort of an action from that. So what I, you know, my advice would be find out what your acquisition is. You know, find out what is going to back out from you, for you, and work your way backwards. So then you can determine, well, this is a good return on investment for me. If I spent, like, for example, I've sold a good amount of digital products online. If you sell a product for $500 and it costs me $120 to get someone in the door, then like, that's not terrible, right?
Yeah, that's a great margin.
Okay. Yeah. So for me, that's based on a CPA basis. Yeah. For other times where I'm creating, you know, when people are focused on awareness, for me, I'm looking at bounce rate. You know, so for me, I like, I don't care if they sign up.
So it's quality, quality,
exactly.
Yeah.
And it all comes down to the content, man. Your content has to be, content is, you know, look, when I first started in this business in online marketing and all that, content was king then and it's king now.
Yep.
You know, and it always will be. You could try any little trick you want. At the end of the day, you have to provide value to whoever's on the other end of that.
Are you overseeing the content creation when it comes to your businesses?
Are you a touch point at least?
Yeah, I am. Okay. For some of, for I would say about 80% of it now.
Got it.
You know, we have a lot of different brands that we've, you know, gone out with, and we have a really good staff in-house that we use to.
How many employees?
We have about 15 employees right now, and then about 16 different freelancers out there. So I try and put my hand on as much as I can, but like we're also expanding. So like we just opened up an office in Hong Kong.
Oh, wow.
Congrats.
It's expensive out there. Yeah. How much was it? Did that cost? That's the most expensive real estate in the world.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't buy it. I rented it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But
still the most expensive rent.
It was not cheap, and it's not a very big office.
Okay.
But it was more expensive.
Why Hong
than
Kong?
There's a lot of really great opportunity in the Hong Kong stock market right now.
Are you getting into foreign stock markets or just Chinese?
Yeah, no, I mean, we're delving in a little bit.
Am I diet going into some secrecy here?
We're not ready yet.
Some hesitancy.
So you're me involved.
Hey, that's all right. I don't need your money.
So you work
Please
as...
give me your money.
How much weed do you smoke?
I don't, dude.
No?
You can't,
all.
Bro. What do you he just talked about being
well,
sober.
No, well, some it, so, no, everybody's journey is different.
Some people
yeah, but did you not just hear?
Here.
Spencer,
hey, had a little brain fart. It's been a long day.
Spencer.
Not going to catch me slipping.
It was a test. It was very strategic.
No, it was good. It was
my
good.
Mistake.
Yeah. No, I knew it, which is why.
So you know. so you so
you run basically act as an agency to brands.
Correct.
In the weed space and other spaces. And then you have a market touch point as well, or you bring brands public, or you have some sort of...
No. So the brands are already public. They come to us and they say, we're looking to increase awareness. We want to market and advertise. So we take in their story, and a lot of them are startup. Some of them, maybe right in the middle. And we work with them, and we try and work with them long term. And, for long term for us is anywhere between, 6 months and a year.
How did you, I try to keep bringing it back to the audience as much as possible. How did you get here? And the main question I would ask you is, who was the first client? Because that's always the most exciting one. How did you make that step?
100%. And this is actually a funny story. I don't know about funny, but.
It's probably a story.
It's definitely 100%. It's a story.
That's good.
We'll start there.
Yeah. All right. So
I could add funny in if you want at some point.
Right. Because, no, you are fudge funny. That's right. So we're good.
That's true.
So, so what it was is that I started the web design stuff, and then I was working for a dental office. I was doing like their website, and they had tried a bunch of different marketing tactics. And this is when like social media marketing was like just starting to really blow up. So I convinced them to give me a little extra money to do marketing on Twitter and Facebook, like at the beginning. And I ended up doing $200,000 in organic patient referrals for them without them having to spend any money on paid ads.
Mm. What? Just organic mm-hmm. posting?
And so I got them like on the first page of Google for everything organically. SEO? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is back when these companies didn't charge like tons of money. Right?
No way.
Couldn't do that today with the same strategy, could you? Or could you?
I do it for my own stuff today. I don't do it for other companies today.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just going to say, in order to get that done now, that's probably what the majority of your freelance is. Is it article writing for SEO purposes?
Not just for SEO purposes, but a lot of the SEO stuff I still want to put my hand on because there's so many things changing in that landscape. And the littlest mistake or even the smallest inference that you're doing something wrong, Google doesn't give a shit, man. They'll just penalize
you. Do you have an SEO person in-house?
I have several, yeah.
SEO stands for search engine optimization.
There you go. How did you track?
They did through a CRM. Oh,
the dental office had a CRM?
Yeah, setup? The guy that rent, so what's it was good?
Hold on. We got some beef here.
Well, because I called you out. What's good, man?
Let's handle this.
If we're going to do it, we're going to do it.
Well, who had said that SEO doesn't stand for search?
You going to make me act up.
Sit down. Lucky you are.
Who said that SEO does not stand for search?
Spencer did.
No, I know he, in a certain way, knows it does. But what do you think it stands
Spencer
for?
Spencer did Vima, and that's why he's flawed. Spencer did Vima.
He sold.
If you don't know what Vima is, you know. Remember that one kid at your high school would go around and be like, I have this drink. Here, sign up under me and you can sell the drink too. And if you sell enough, you can get a Mercedes with Vima.
Did anyone get the Mercedes?
Blast it on the side. I met a person who got the Mercedes and actually introduced Spencer to Jake, and then Spencer introduced to me. So shout out Christian Sager. But also, the Mercedes was fucking whack.
Oh, was it an old
There was a Vima what was it? It was Vima Verve. A Verve watermark on the side of, by the way, the cheapest version of the Mercedes. And I remember seeing it. I was like, it's all a facade. Even if you get the Mercedes, it's a pyramid scheme.
Ready for this?
No, it's not a pyramid scheme.
Even our cameraman is from the old Vima squad.
They're all from the old Vima squad.
I've never heard of this.
It's a network.
Glad you did it.
You ever heard of Bernie Madoff?
Yeah.
Imagine he was an energy drink.
That's fucked up.
It's fucked up.
That's not an energy drink you want to drink.
You explained to me, and I'm going to tie this together. You explained to me you're doing some sort of workshop, correct? Or you do some sort of business
seminar conference,
learn how to be a business person type thing.
We're developing that product now is what we're doing. And we tried it out on three different individuals. Mm-hmm. One of the individuals thought that you could just, like a lot of people, I feel, think that you can just pay something and have a business overnight.
Yes. And that's what the majority of people think. Ty Lopez was a guest on the show, but are you familiar with the Ty Lopez business? I sometimes fear when you sign up for like a Ty Lopez thing, and we asked him, I'm like, is this a scam? And he goes, what you're probably going to say is, as long as you put in the work, it could work.
Yeah. No. Look, I think it depends on what you're interested in and what people and the effort. But that's true for anything. Mm. You know, if you have a hobby or something you're interested in or something you're going to school for or whatever, it's that you have to want to put in the work. Mm. You know, you can't. I mean, obviously, man, like you probably know better than anyone. You didn't just show up here and have a podcast. You know, you had to put in the work.
I put in the
work. So just because somebody is willing to teach you something or put a product on the table that has some tool to help you get into something new or something else, if you don't put the work in, that's fucking on you.
Yeah.
We had some kid show up. Actually, it's happened twice in the past couple of weeks. This kid showed up somewhere where we were at, and he came up to me. He's like, I got to talk to you and Logan. I got to talk to you. I want to let you know you guys have really, really inspired me. You have inspired me so much. You have given me a dream. And I've had this dream now for the past 6 months. It's great. It's a great dream. And I said, you going to do anything or what steps have you taken so far to accomplish that dream? And I said, for example, his dream, by the way, was to become a YouTuber. Okay. And I said, okay, where's your camera? Can you imagine if you had exercised that dream? And when you came up to me and Logan, you were able to say, Logan, Mike, what's up? You guys inspired me. You just got a video on YouTube with 250,000 views because me and Logan are in it. Mm-hmm. Where's your camera? And he's like, well, the dream so far has been really good, but the camera hasn't been part of the dream. I'm like, bro, leave right now. Go get a fucking camera. I'm like, leave right now. Go get a fucking camera. I'll even let you hit me up on Instagram and come meet me again with the camera in a few hours.
Yeah, Mike really tried to help him out.
I always do.
I'm going
to
take it a step further okay. because the first camera that I ever shot on was a butthole.
Was it a flip?
Compared to this.
Oh, yeah.
This shoots 4K at 60 frames.
That's true. Like even
and it texts anybody. It accesses the internet. You can ask any question and have it answered. Like,
ridiculous.
If you are complaining about getting started today,
Do you know what my first camera was? It was a tripod like Andre's using, and then it was a box with a hood. You had to put your head under it and turn a crank.
Shut
like
the
this.
Fuck up! You're lying.
And it went like this.
I think he's making a joke.
It went like this.
Like the one in King Kong. This is
from the early 1900s.
Yeah, that's not accurate.
Unless we know Mike's 34?
I could be 76.
340?
I'm just glad that I'm not the only one in my 30s sitting here.
So. Well, it's been happening more and more often. Yeah. Because to be honest with you, with the exception of these two, a lot of times it takes a few years before you got a really cool story to tell. And so a lot of people we've been having on now are like 30 plus. These two are the exceptions because... fucking this dude's a classic vegan, just man all of a sudden. It's and true. This guy over here is just a freaking controversial YouTuber.
Yeah, look at him. So controversial. I got a question. When I start making guap, or when somebody, let's just say I'm chilling in Illinois and I start making some guap, what do I do? Do I save? What do I do with my money?
Oh,
that's a really good question, right?
Go to pennystocks.com, founded by me. Adam Haven. Adam Haven. Yes.
What's fucked up is that I actually own that domain, right?
No, I know. I know. That's why I use the example. No, I know that.
But not so,
Penny Stocks, Jordan Belfort. That's how it started.
Yeah. But, you know, hopefully not the same ending, right? Yeah. So,
believe it or not, things are pretty good with
no,
Jordan.
And God bless, man.
Did you see his episode with us?
God bless. But, I was, there's like a whole part in there I kind of want to fast, you know, skip.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
it's pretty rare.
Yeah. So far, so good. You know, been in the business 12 years so far, so good.
Yeah.
That's a good question, right? So here's what happened at the beginning when I started to make some money, right? Mm-hmm. Some money. Because when I first started, like my wife co-signed my first car, you know, and like I had like no credit and all that stuff. And I, you know, all those things have built up over time. But when I started to make some money, you know, what's the first thing you do when you start to get a little bit of money?
You buy a G-Wagon.
A what?
G-Wagon?
Nah, I'm not a G-Wagon guy. Right. Yeah, I'm sorry.
You buy shit.
Bro, I went fucking nuts with the cars.
Anything?
What'd you get?
Too much.
No, what'd you get?
A lot.
Like what?
Name the coolest one you got.
One of the coolest. The coolest one that I have now is if you're a Porsche guy.
I am.
Okay, so I have. I think it's number 314 of 500. For the 911 Turbo S exclusive.
Spider?
Oof. No, the exclusive. Do you know what that is?
I don't.
So when the 918 came out, there was a bunch of like uh, like other cars that came out with it. So yeah, it's that gold one right there.
You and oh my god.
Yeah.
How much was this car?
Too much.
$330 when I got it.
Sexy. What's it valued at now?
$360 or something. It went up. Yeah, it's going up. But mine is wrapped in like a black satin wrap.
Wow.
With like a custom titanium exhaust. I went nuts with it.
And you just drive that shit down Collins or what?
No, no. I said they all sit in my garage.
Yeah, cars aren't the best investment.
No, it's not good, right? So like, but that's when I first started, right? And like to this day, I'm still kind of fucked up with it. Like I just, what else did I get? I've had like a bunch of 911 Turbo S's. I've had an Aventador. I just traded the Aventador for the Ferrari.
If you need me to whip it, I'll do it.
Spencer can drive well.
Yeah.
So
you're done buying cars or probably not?
No.
Not yet. I think
one piece of advice that, and I'm sure you'll recognize this, that could go out to someone who has started to make a little bit of money, right? Like I think some of the people watching our show may have just made their first 50, 60 grand. You know what I'm saying? The wisest advice from somebody like Buffett or some like in that level would say is get rid of any high interest debt you have before you save any money. I mean, like, yes, you want a small nest egg to rest on, but if you are saving all your money and you have 18% APR on your interest on your credit cards and you're spending all that in interest, you have to pay all that debt off before you're saving all your money.
Here's the thing with the car thing, just going back for one second. The way I looked at it, right, was that, you know, I used to buy, so I've always loved cars, man, you know?
Yeah.
And I used to buy $500 cars off Craigslist, you know, until they would fucking die. Then I used to like put the screwdriver in the car to turn it on. We had one that we called the Rim Rider because it would just bounce up and down like a basketball. And I always thought to myself, like, if I ever fucking did well, man, like I'd want to, you know, get a couple nice cars, right? That was just my thing. But when I first started to buy them, I thought to myself, like I kind of use it as a motivator. So like, you know, I got it. And then I was like, all right, I'm going to work twice as hard to make sure that I continue to earn it.
Yes. In a roundabout way, I think when I got the G-Wagon, I had like a pretty solid amount of money to buy. It's like a $300,000 car. I was definitely like safe and stable, but it was, my business managers said straight up, like, you should not buy this car because, you know, they're being safe and conservative. You should not buy this car. It's not a great investment. But it lit a fire under my ass because now I wasn't safe anymore.
Right.
After I spent it, I was like, okay, like, I do got to work a little harder to make sure I don't lose all my money.
And to be able to put gas in it.
Well, you know what's tank up.
Yeah, it's like $120
per. Yeah, super expensive.
It's crazy.
But you know what's worse than feeling like uneasy or whatever? Is feeling safe, bro.
Feeling safe sucks,
man.
So
I get
dangerous.
My most anxious when I feel like, oh man, I can just coast.
Yep.
Cause that's so
I was on that way for a little bit. Now I'm back in this shit.
So do you think
watch out YouTube?
The people that say, ooh, I'm gonna wait to do that until I'm safe and comfortable. Is that a mental trap for people?
So, you know, I mean, it depends. You know, for me, you know, look, it was easy for me to take certain risks, man. Like I didn't, you know, at the time I wasn't married, like I would, you know, we were engaged or whatever, but like we had no kids. Like, so if I failed, I wasn't going to be any worse than I already was.
Yeah, true.
You know what I mean?
You could only go up.
So like if you have like a family and kids and responsibilities and you're like, oh, I just made a little bit of money, let me go buy $100,000 car. You know, you're kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, here's what I would say. Do, you know, spend your money on what, you know, on the things that you want because you work for it and you can't fucking take it with you, you know, but don't be so financially irresponsible that if the world blew up tomorrow, you'd be fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Find the balance.
This could be a stupid question. I don't know.
No,
I was thinking about it in the shower.
Let her rip.
Yeah.
If I make $1 million and obviously you have to pay taxes on it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say $500,000 for sake of math.
Mm-hmm.
I pay $500,000 worth of taxes. If I invest $100,000 of that into a company, is that considered a write-off or do I have to?
No,
no, that's not. Like, that's after taxes, $100,000 out of my
still
pocket.
Your money.
Yeah. It's still your money that you're putting in. Depending on how long, and I'm not an accountant, right? But depending on how long you leave it in that investment, You either pay short-term or long-term capital gains
on it, which is massive.
Mm.
It's like 30-40%.
So like anything that you invest in, you want to leave it there for like, and just my experience, I leave it there as long as possible.
Really? Okay.
Because long-term gains taxes substantially are way less. Short-term gains are like 40%. Yeah,
I told you this before we started the podcast. Something about business, even some of the stuff you were talking about in this podcast, like 10% of it, I'm not going to lie. It's almost like you're speaking another language, which is odd for me because I'm a smart kid and I know it, but business specifically.
One thing I like that I think is interesting is that to think about is like people's, for me, like I was always like, I can't wait to make $100,000.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm so excited about that. And so something to think about the investment number you just used is if you could ever get $1 million into an investment plan,
mm-hmm.
and expect to take a pretty moderate return on it, let's call it 10% annual. I know that's
pretty
slightly
high.
Aggressive,
yeah,
but
yeah,
I think it's doable with the right people, right? You can potentially make $100,000 a year for the rest of your life off that $1 million.
Potentially, yeah.
Potentially. You'll have bad years, but you'll have good years. I mean, 8 to 10% is not unheard of, right?
No, but normally people are making that money when they're putting in a lot more, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, look, it depends. You know, some people put their money in like an interest, a high interest account that gives you back
that's kind
of return.
1%.
Right. Yeah. Whatever. You know, for me, I've always taken a lot of the money that I've invested. Like I've put it into real estate recently. You know, like I have two homes in Miami.
Hmm.
You rent stuff out or?
Not yet. I'm still trying to make my peace with the fact that someone else would live there. So I'm like back and forth between like, you know, I fix it up. I'm thinking about selling it, but it's just kind of sitting there for sale right now.
Gotcha. I got a chick living in my house right now back in Connecticut.
Nice.
Shout out Emily. Every day,
that's
right on
awesome.
Time. Emily.
Every single day. Huh?
You're amazing. I don't even ask her. I just
that's
get a
fantastic.
Venmo. First of the month, I get a Venmo.
That's fantastic.
Send it right over to the bank to pay the mortgage.
Taxes suck, dude.
Yeah, bro, you're telling me.
So
he knows all about that shit.
And you know what? And honestly, like you have two choices. You either pay it or get fucked.
Yeah.
So that's it.
And trust me, my mom taught me at a young age. FBI, you could finagle with sometimes. Nah. You could even mess with a bunch of government agencies. The one people you don't fuck with
is the low gang.
Is the IRS
and
dude.
The low gang.
And the low gang.
You make the money, just pay your taxes.
The IRS will come after you, and if they're like, you're like, you can't garnish my wages. I have to feed my children. They're like, fuck your kids, dude. Like we're gonna take all of our money from you. Like they don't have any compassion whatsoever for your problems. Pay your taxes on time.
Okay. So if I'm somebody out there and I have nothing, no idea about taxes or whatever, which is probably the majority of people because school doesn't teach us hardly anything about taxes.
Square dance.
So what's like the first thing I should know with taxes? Like mentally when I'm making money, what's the smart way to look at it?
Just know that you have a partner and that partner is the United States.
Damn.
So, you know, get a good accountant. I'm not an accountant. I have a good accountant, you know, and I let them deal with it.
Okay. Smart. Sharp advice. Thank you, bro. I appreciate you.
Yeah.
I want to go to the audio only right now. It's this, but audio only.
Sure.
I love that tagline, by the way. I've been saying it a lot.
That's great.
Is there anything we missed?
No, I mean, I think we covered most of it, right?
Okay.
I mean,
I felt good.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
also, if not, we do continue this on the audio only, which we're about to do on Spotify and iTunes. Adam, bro, thank you for coming on.
Impulsive. Thank you very much.
And you, can they look out for Entrepreneur, your podcast?
Yeah.
It's right now, it's happening now?
Well, it's going to be happening real soon, right?
Okay.
So if they go on my Instagram page,
which is
at Adam Hyman,
okay,
that's
cool.
HEIMANN.
Cool.
You know, we'll be announcing it soon and you know, going from there.
Very cool. Awesome. Very cool. Thank you for coming on and blessing us with your business.
No,
wisdom,
thank you
brother.
For having me, man. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
On Spotify, iTunes right now, audio only. Rate us 5 stars. Hit that thumbs up. We'll see you next time. Hit that subscribe button too. Take it easy, man. Peace. You don't have to keep him on.
Oh,
but he was also about to stand up.
Oh, no. We're
we
still,
keep going. It's audio only.
Shits,
hey, can I tell you a quick thing? Fingernails, cut him.
I know.
Wait,
you're so right. I know, because you know why?
You gotta.
They're long.
You got
now.
Claws.
There's like a day for me.
But you gotta do that before.
Yeah.
But there's like usually
hold on, question.
What?
There's a reason why you cut your nails before what you were gonna answer. Do you think he has to cut his nails?
Do you see where I'm going with this?
No.
Could you cut your nails to get in a date situation? Is this what the question is?
Oh, because...
Could you get away with it?
Yeah, yes,
yes,
exactly.
Yes, I understand. It doesn't need to be said. Yes.
No, I'm not going to say it. That's why I didn't say it. But do you think you have to cut your fingernails?
Yes.
You really do.
To finger a girl.
No, yes. That's not what I meant. Yes, it is. But I meant, do you think you have to cut your fingernails for tonight?
Oh, yes. Duh.
You're going there?
What did you just say?
All right. Let me put it this way. The person we're talking about is already through the top of the marketing funnel. Moving through consideration on tonight as the first date. Are you planning to convert the sale this evening?
Not if you don't cut your nails.
Yeah, see?
I still didn't get the answer.
bro, yes, I get it. I get it.
I got some trimmers if you need them.
So do I.
Hey, it's ironic that you're sober and you own marijuanastocks.com.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
How did that come about?
I just feel cooler with the headphones on.
I know, and you sound cooler. My ears, bro, can only stand a certain
sex
temperature.
Appeal went through the roof.
Yeah. Yep. No, so look, I feel like I'm kind of an opportunist, right? So like I saw, we were getting, in 2014, we were getting a lot, that's kind of when this whole like thing, this craze happened with like cannabis companies and like it was just becoming like medically legal. And so we were getting a lot of public companies that were coming to us at that time and saying like, oh, like we want to go ahead and market with you. And there was just like this crazy influx. And at the time we hadn't like made a huge investment back in the business. And I was like, you know what? We need to go out there and get a premium domain and build a brand around it. And,
did you pay extra for the domain?
I did.
How much?
I ended up paying $75,000 for the domain,
what?
The website. It came with the Twitter, the Facebook, everything had the vanity URL. Like
which site was it?
Marijuanastocks.com.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, the guy didn't know what he had. It came with 10,000 double opt-in subscribers, the SEO placement already done. So it was on the first page for everything.
Damn.
At that time, it was so popular. It was getting like 30, 40,000 hits a day. And for that niche of a site, that's big.
That's massive.
You know?
So what? Is he kicking himself?
Was he high?
I don't even know, dude. To this day,
I made 75K, bro.
Do you know how much weed I could buy with that? Bro. This dude went and made 75 million in the next 6 months.
Bro, to this day, I don't even know his real name. His name was just Roots. That's what he called himself.
Oh, it was really Tommy Chong.
Dude, I just remember like I sent some wire to like an escrow account and then we got all the stuff.
That's
a win. That's a
massive
home run. And penny stocks. I like these stories. How do you get pennystocks.com? That's a big one.
So I track. So, you know, that was always like, cause look, we try and get a lot of leads, online from that type of stuff. So we've had, you know, freepennystockalerts.com, like all these other older domains that we don't have anymore or whatever. And I thought like, that was always the holy grail of like domains for that niche. So I go ahead and I've bought a couple of higher end domains and I work with a domain broker. And I said, I go, we were talking about potentially me buying stockmarket.com, right? Which like, I'm still entertaining that conversation.
You know what the price tag is?
I do.
What is it?
It's north of 5 million.
Yeah.
So we're still like negotiating that conversation, but like, I don't think that it's necessarily worth that much, but whatever. So I said, I go, what other higher quality domains do you have access to? So he came back with a couple and then he's like, oh, we have pennystocks.com. And I was like, that one, you know? So he put me in touch with the owner and the owner and I, worked out a deal.
Was the owner Timothy Sykes?
No.
Damn.
Have you ever, what's the highest level of schmoozing you've ever done to secure a bag?
Oh, man.
Because we've all had a schmooze.
Oh, bro. Schmoozing is part of the game. You got to do it.
Either you're schmoozing or you're losing.
True.
Or you're boozing.
I mean.
Who's that? This young rock star looking man?
Focus, guys.
Well, just a group of beautiful people just walked into the house. What the fuck is going on?
What's happening? Squad. Hi. Hey, how you doing?
Oh, vegans?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I schmoozed pretty hard with Paulo this week. So.
Oh, you did schmooze.
Did you wine and dine him?
We did. We went to this deli several nights in a row. It was probably the closest thing I've had to a date in a while.
So. Really? Wow.
Where'd you go?
Hey, Paulo makes a nice date.
No, he does. He's got a good smile. Soft features.
And he goes like this.
Rolling. Does he ever say that? Does he ever say that?
You know what? Honestly, I've been like cracking all these like stupid jokes in front of him for the past couple of days. The first time I've seen him smile, I thought he was dead inside.
Oh no, we all did.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all did. It's not, but when he does smile, he's just like, yeah, like his life is possible.
He's not dead inside. He is literally 550 steps ahead of whatever you're going to say next to him. Yeah. The dude is a strategic mastermind.
That's what I've been told that several times.
I compare him to Megamind from the famous Disney
Like Jesus and Megamind, they fuse together.
Yeah. His head should be the size of like a fucking...
This is him.
Exactly.
By the way, we're talking about CEO Paolo, everyone. CEO.Paolo on Instagram.
That looks like him right after he says rolling.
Rolling.
Hey, I do have a date.
Cut those nails, boy.
Cut those nails and get going.
Adam, bro, thank you.
No, thank you very much for having me, guys.
Of course. Keep a lookout for Entrepreneur Adam's podcast coming up. Follow on Instagram at Adam
Hyman.
Yep. H-E-I-M-A-N-N.
Yes, sir.
Look at me. I was in the spelling bee.
All right, guys. We love you. Rate us 5 stars or else. Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.